Fire up that grill, pull out the Blackstone. It is a beautiful morning to do some early morning grilling. Grab that favorite beverage. It is a Thursday edition of the morning tailgate, and all eyes are now forward. That proverbial book we keep talking about and the pages that we are and are not turning, it is officially turned to the Carolina Panthers. Sunday home opener at Allegiant Stadium. Good morning, boys. We got Tim Murray, 920 from VSiN. Got a lot of problems with Tim. No.
He's here to make us money.
Can never have a problem with Tim. He's been making us money.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that guy said turns to gold. It is a fantastic day. Aces playoff starts on Sunday. How about that?
Yeah, regular season wrapped up.
Regular season wrapping up tonight at Michelob Ultra. Golden Knights training camp kicking off. And the Raiders, Brock Bowers, continues to be the talk of the town.
Is it too early for a quote of the year candidate?
What are we in? Mid-September?
Third week of the season.
Oh, just in terms of the NFL season? Absolutely not.
We're still taking submissions.
I think Devontae Adams.
The deadline is not bad.
Adams, it's perfectly capturing something, right?
Okay.
Yesterday we were talking to him about Brock Bowers.
Yes.
And about, because, you know, first of all, I go up to Brock yesterday, and of course the army of reporters kind of follow me over there. It's Brock Bowers. It's coming off a big game, you know, and he turns around. He's like, whoa. I told him, you can't have the game that you had on Sunday and not expect this. He goes, yeah, I totally get it. So he's extremely quiet.
Right.
He's just shy in a lot of ways, you know, and it's great. And I'm looking forward to the evolution of Brock Bowers from that perspective. I don't know if we're ever going to get, you know, a different version of Brock, but we could all hope. But anyway, so later on we're talking to Devontae Adams about breaking the ice with a guy that just doesn't really talk much. He's just all football. And we said, how's the ice breaking going?
Yeah.
We're still skating.
We're still skating on it.
We're still skating right now. And then Devontae's going, there's no, it's good luck.
And he was quick with it, too.
Yeah,
it wasn't like he thought about it.
We're still skating that ice.
That was a quick one, too.
It was great.
You know what? I accept that nomination for quote of the year. Clay, let's put it in the box. Let's put it in the
and we'll get
box.
To it. We'll hear him when he says it. But it was just like, and everyone understood, like, yeah, exactly. Like, we're doing the same. It's the same process with us. He's just such a baller, such a football dude that doesn't really care about it. What do you do off the field? What do you find enjoyment is? Video games, kind of, you know, a little bit, you know. But that's basically it, you know.
Devontae Adams, Antonio Pierce, Brock Bowers, Gardner Minshew. We're going to hear from
all of them
today. You know, I had some interesting conversations yesterday with our fellow cohorts in the media.
Cohorts.
Had to get one in early.
Colleagues. Cohorts.
Enemies.
Yeah, that's funny.
No.
We are kind of competitors, but it's all, you know, it's all good.
On this show.
Yes.
In the conversations we've had on this show, Clay, I feel like there's been correct me if I'm wrong, a pretty unanimous feeling this week.
Yes.
Of what Sunday's result will be in terms
should
of
be.
A victory.
Yes.
Should be. I think we're confident. We don't have a crystal ball. I think we're all pretty confident in that they will win. It's a matter of how it looks.
How it looks.
Right?
That's the key.
Is that fair? Is that?
Yes.
That is a fair set. So in those conversations with colleagues, I felt like we were in the minority. There's a lot of conversation, and not just media here, but the more I was kind of taken aback by the lack of confidence that the Raiders were going to do well with their recent success, with their prosperity, that they were able to double
There's
down
doubters
on
out there?
Well, and it kind of piggybacks off of what we felt from the callers this past week and kind of that trepidation, the hesitation, so I kind of want to open up that conversation again. And as we open up the phone lines today, as we always do, 702-365-9200, are we alone in terms of the confidence of the result, or is there real questions that they can double down on the success that they found in the fourth quarter on the road in Baltimore?
Yeah, I think from the fan base and maybe nationally, there's They're optimistically skeptical. Let's put it that
way. Optimistically pessimistic?
Pessimistic, yeah.
Pessimistically cautious.
Yes, right. Because in their eyes, seen this movie before, been let down, gotten, you know, onto the party train only for it to skid off of the tracks over and over and over again. Now, I think that there's some different dynamics here. I think anytime you have a defense like this defense, which is something that I haven't seen since covering the Raiders, and there's longtime, you know, Raider fans like Fabian, who always points out it's been longer than 20 years. It's been 30, 40 years since they've had great success. Like, right. This is the type of defense that I remember seeing when I was, you know, much younger and the Raiders were in Los Angeles, or even back it up when I was a little kid and the Raiders were playing in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl every single year. They had a dominating, stifling type of a defense that just got after you. It's been a long time since they've had this level of defense. And I think that changes it, because I think that they should be able to defensively, unless the Carolina Panthers come up with some sort of sneak attack that the Raiders just were not accounting for, and you know, and they got to figure something out defensively. I think they're going to dominate this game defensively, and I have enough confidence in the offense that they should win going away. So I'm good, but I understand it from the national perspective and the fans' perspective. You got to show it to me more. You got to prove it to me more.
Yeah, Clay, I'm not necessarily questioning my thought process anymore, but I am taking stock in what others, not so much the national, but more so in our little stratosphere here
it's good to do.
And I guess the question becomes, and I understand the history, mm-hmm. and I understand the trepidation for the history, but just let's take the snapshot of this early season.
Mm-hmm.
How similar do you think it is in terms of what the Raiders went in and did in Baltimore to what Carolina is now trying to do here in Vegas? I don't think they're all too similar. I understand everyone's going to pick, or more likely than not, everyone's going to pick the Raiders over the Panthers.
Right.
I don't think it's the same at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you could see where the analysts on the Sunday morning shows would all pick, all right, this is a Raiders win. You know, not unlike how week two was, like, all right, we're all picking the Ravens to beat the Raiders.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be picking the Raiders to beat the Panthers.
Right. This is just my opinion now. I think the Raiders are closer to what the Ravens were, as opposed to they're closer to what the Panthers
are. Yeah, for sure. They're in two different worlds.
The Raiders and
Panthers are on two different planets right now.
Okay.
Let's be honest about that and accept that.
That's the conversation, though, because 5.5 points is the number?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it came down from 7 to 5.5, right?
You figure
what do we do? Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton's moving the ticket.
I know we're not a betting show, but like,
Well, it's perception. It's all about perception.
Well, I think there's still some doubt about the offense because we've only seen one quarter. Let's be honest about that too. We've seen one good quarter of Raiders football offensively.
Yeah.
And I totally understand it from a national perspective and also from the fan base's perspective. I got to see more than that.
Yeah.
I think what I saw was for me anyway, but I'm not speaking for the nation or anybody else because I totally understand the skepticism. And I've been saying and pounding the table, the Raiders, you want to change that perception?
Yeah.
Go kick some butt and do it convincingly and stack together wins. It's in their power. So I completely understand, like, you got to show it to me more than one quarter offensively. Defensively, I think everybody understands how good this team
is. And that's kind of why, like, I posed that question yesterday. Was the Chargers week two win on the road in Baltimore, in Carolina, is that a litmus test standard kind of, hey, that's going to be our kind of marker, 26-3. It was a wire-to-wire finish, never really close. And when you look at this team and the Raiders, that shoulda, coulda, woulda. The week one was in the Raiders' hands, and they literally dropped it. They literally gave it away.
It happened early
in the first half. It was a winnable game.
Totally. Better. So, I still think they're a better team than the Chargers.
So that's the question. And maybe we're still on the same page, but I just feel the disparity between what the Raiders and Ravens were on Sunday was not as large as what we're going to see Sunday, even with Andy Dalton at quarterback.
I think, yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're. I don't.
The
think
outcome should be the same. Yeah,
I don't. Right.
The
I don't, I don't know
be
that
very
it's,
similar.
It's,
okay.
Yeah, it's gonna. It should be. I think control of the game for sure.
Convincing win.
26-3 Look, I'm gonna give a little bit of grace to the Carolina Panthers.
Under 10.
They're. It's gonna be over 10. They're gonna win by more than 10 points.
No, I meant Carolina scoring under 10.
Good chance that it's 10 or below. Okay. I think. So maybe like a 24-10 type of a game, a 26, because again, you got to see more from the Raiders offense, but I'm also going to give a little bit of grace to the Panthers. You know, you get your ass kicked in this league. It's early enough in the season. And I think that there's enough buy-in for that new coaching staff. They're going to come out here and fight. All right. So I'm going to give them some fight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give Andy Dalton a little bit of grace in terms of he'll know what to do with the ball and make it. I feel like it'll look a little bit more, efficient maybe mm-hmm. for the offense for a bit of time anyway. But I don't think it's gonna last. So I don't know that 26-3 is the litmus test. I think winning convincingly, and we should know what that looks like, is definitely within. The Raiders grasp, and it should be. I don't know that the score is going to be 26-3 or better. It could be, depending on how when the Carolina Panthers basically throw in the towel. But
yeah,
a convincing win. I don't know what that score would necessarily look like.
But. Yeah, and the reason why I take stock in this question now is because Antonio Pierce kind of admitted it yesterday, and we're going to hear from him coming up in a bit. But he had basically admitted we have to prove that we can handle success.
I agree.
We have to prove that we can handle what we did in the fourth quarter and then carry it over. That's an interesting thing, and that's an interesting challenge. And to me, that's a fantastic hitting home your point as a head coach to the team. Not just one to say, hey, let's continue to evolve. He's literally questioning, because we talked about it yesterday. Anything he says to us, he said tenfold and probably in more colorful language to his team. So if he's saying to us, can we handle success, that question has been posed in the team meeting, right?
Right, to avoid the term, we got this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been many times where there were situations where the Raiders were in that spot. Can you convince us that you know how to win consistently? Instead of having this mindset of like, you see a weaker opponent, a wounded animal, and you go into that mindset of like, yeah, we got this.
Yeah.
That's what gets you into Trap City.
Yeah.
That's what gets you into major letdown.
It should be, we got this, and we're going to go out there and have some fun and stick our foots on somebody's neck and just choke them out, basically, and do it convincingly. I think that you should be confident as a football team. You should respect your opponent, no doubt about it. But you should go into this game not accepting anything less than a choke out early in the game and just have some fun, give the fans something to cheer about, build some momentum. Create some goodwill with your fan base. I think it's a much tougher team in Cleveland than maybe the record suggests with the Browns coming in a week later. But you have a very good opportunity to maybe get to 3-1 here.
Yeah.
All right. And so take advantage of that. And the one way you do that is have confidence in yourself and then act the part on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers and take care of business.
I mean, just watching some of the film on Carolina on the first 2 weeks, again, I didn't dive too much into it because the games were just kind of out of hand late, but New Orleans beat them through the air
mm-hmm.
pretty handily.
Got on top quickly.
Pretty handily, and the Chargers just ran at will. I mean, so you've seen in 2 weeks, small sample size.
They got nothing.
I mean, and then, now they're benching their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as much as you can respect and Andy Dalton played well here once, how many years ago? You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are we talking about? This shouldn't be anything other than a convincing victory.
I agree.
So that's just kind of the boat
be.
I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be. And if it is, that's what I'm talking about. We're gonna be having some real discussions next week if it goes the other way.
Like, how the hell did that happen?
Right. Like, what are we doing?
Because you don't want the history in the past to repeat itself.
It would be such a far, even though it was 1.5 quarters mm-hmm. of.
But it was enough.
Okay, we see it. Even if those
against a good defense,
it would be such a. It would be so far off the path if Sunday didn't go. That's why I fully expect Sunday to be a party in the stands for the nation, for the tailgaters here at Allegiant Stadium. So. Wanted to pose that question. We'll get to a lot of things. Again, we're going to hear from Antonio Pierce, Devontae Adams, Brock Bowers, Gardner Minshew, all here on the Morning Tailgate. 702-365-9200. How are you feeling ahead of Sunday?
Gets the snap. Minshew on 3rd and 8. Back to throw. Pressure. Avoids it. Out to the right. Eyes downfield. Lobs from the middle. It's caught at the 5. Brock Bowers hauls it in. He's dragging defenders. He's trying to get to the goal line. And he's down inside the 1. Brock Bowers came free. They pick up 27 yards, and it's 1st and goal at the 1.
Thank you so much for being back with us here on the Morning Tailgate. Vince, Vinny, and Clay here on Raider Nation Radio, Raider Nation and Raiders Radio Network coming back. Great stuff from Brock Bowers. That catch brought it 1st and goal in the 3rd quarter. And, you know, when you're thinking about, all right, how are things going to be different this time when you have a classic letdown or trap moment? You know, sometimes it has to do with personnel, and we've outlined it. Defensively, the personnel is considerably different than years past. That can help you avoid letdowns. And perhaps personnel like Brock Bowers is also somebody that is just as dynamic and that can help reimagine what this offense needs to be. And it proved right there. And I think each and every week you're starting to see the gradient up and upwards for Brock Bowers.
And remember, they did what they did in the 4th quarter without the benefit of a running game. Trey Tucker and Michael Mayer still haven't been necessarily introduced to this whole party yet. I'm almost guaranteeing that they will. We may see some of that this week, right? So you're talking about an offense that kind of got on track in that 4th quarter and did it by any means necessary with Brock Bowers and Devontae Adams making big play after big play. But I still think there's plenty more left to this offense to be able to get into and to dig into. And I think this is the perfect game, Vince, to do that. And Brock Bowers will have played his role, whether he has big numbers again this week or becomes sort of that guy that the defense is you know, selling out for or to, and that opens things up for a Michael Mayer and a Trey Tucker and maybe even the run game. He's doing his job one way or another.
I just can't get over how everything is lined up for this team right now, coming off a big win. I don't think there's a team in the National Football League that you – every team's good. Every team has talent. I get that. But Carolina is at the bottom. That's not a conjecture. They are at the bottom right
they
now.
They may finish with the top pick for the 3rd year in a row. Now, theirs went to the Chicago Bears last year.
Historically, that would be
– unprecedented.
Unprecedented. So when I say that, they're at home for the first time. This is a new – energy-infused team with shades of the past brought in, painting the picture of the present with Antonio Pierce. You have a rejuvenated fan base, because the nation never leaves. Like, the nation is always here. So I don't want to say that, but it does feel different. And it feels different leading up to this home opener at Allegiant Stadium. The momentum they were able to create for themselves in Baltimore, the week they're having, the steps they're taking, everything just feels it's going up.
And the arrow to the is right. Pointed up.
Up and to the right. And so that's why, man, Big Mike, I think, is going to have a big game. Big Mike's going to have a big game.
We'll see. I think one of the beauties of this offense is that there are so many great weapons. But and I think what Gardner's showing with that passing percentage completion is that, you know, he's willing to go where the ball should go.
Yeah,
right now, even sometimes if it means quote unquote forcing it to Devontae Adams just to go make a play, because you know that he's going to make a play even when he's defended the way he's been defended. Those are proper decisions, but it could very well, depending on what the Carolina Panthers do, it could very well turn into a Trey Tucker, Brock or Michael Mayer type affair,
which would be great,
or Jacoby Myers, or maybe it's Zamir White. So
it would be, again, building any kind of confidence with any of the weapons would be fantastic, I think, for the health of the offense in terms of everybody's feeling good, not just one or two guys.
The offensive line,
boy,
you know what I'm saying? You're talking about a confidence booster.
I mean,
and it looks like Jackson's going to be out there. He was. Can we super happy?
I want to get into that first. We I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. Funky Raider on the line. Clay, bringing in the funky music out of the break. Funky
the
Raider.
Brothers Johnson is never a bad day when we get the Brothers Johnson.
How are we doing?
All right. How you guys doing? How my Funky Tears doing this morning?
We're great.
Good morning.
Great, great. Vinny and Clay, you got to tell Vincent, since he's pretty new, that every time Funky Ray calls, he's always going to talk about George Clinton.
Of course.
And the Parliament Funkadelic, right.
Does Vince even know who George Clinton
George Clinton made the greatest cameo in Good Burger.
Oh, yeah.
With Keenan and Kel. I know George Clinton.
Okay, I'm just...
I know, you know that dance. I know that. Vinny won't want to see me dance. He doesn't like my dancing or my singing.
Tragic.
Super rude.
Tragic.
I'm an elite chair dancer, Funky.
Yeah, but the reason I was calling is any other coach, I would be kind of nervous about this game, but I'm not too nervous for a couple of reasons. One is because AP is going to have those guys ready to go regardless of who it is, because he says every team in the NFL has a chance to win. And reason number two is because my beautiful queen and myself will be at this game Sunday.
Let's go.
Right on.
Yeah. And Saturday, I'm looking forward to meeting you, Vinny, at CNR.
Crusted room.
Yeah, I'll be there with my older sister on jersey, and my wife will probably
Looking forward to it.
Cliff Branch. Yeah, Cliff Branch jersey. So
all right.
I'm waiting to meet you. Hopefully, Vincent, you can be there. If not, I'll catch you on another time.
I'm going to do my best to get there.
Okay, many blessings to all of
you.
Same to you.
All right, Funky Raider.
Thanks for the call.
And meet us over by the torch, too, before the game.
You know what's so interesting about what he said about Antonio, and I completely agree. What do you remember of what Antonio Pierce has said this week, coming off a big win?
I got to do it again.
Not for me. Running game piss poor.
I see where you're going, yeah.
He forget about the win. That was great.
Yeah, I see where you're going.
That was great. What's the lasting the words that are ringing in the ears of the offensive line of Zamir White, of everybody that's involved in that run game operation? Wasn't
100%,
good enough. We sucked. 1.2 yards. What are they averaging? They're under 2, I think.
It was 1.8.
1.8 on Sunday, and it's like 2 point something. For the season.
Yeah, under 3, not great.
I mean, that's all.
Not good.
Right. It's
not,
terrible.
It's not great. It's not good.
It's terrible. So. They're not thinking, I don't think anyway, a lot of the components on this team, a lot of faces on this team aren't thinking about, oh, we just came off this big win against the, you know, Baltimore Ravens. What they're hearing is getting their butts chewed out by Antonio Pierce, which he promised that he was going to do after he
met with the media.
After he met with the media and laid it at the feet of the offensive line. So there you go. There's the buttons that he's pushing. Like,
yeah,
the win's great, but this run game is horrible, and it needs to get better.
When that run game eventually, because you would hope, because if it doesn't, things aren't good. So let's just say, you know, once that run game does pick up to a level of...
competence?
That's a good word. Of competence, you would think everything else will open up. And again, that's why Week 2's victory was so impressive, Clay. Was how they were still able to execute some of the offense in spite of themselves. And again, when you have and that's why we're talking about a guy like Brock Bowers. The talent level is so large, he is helping make up for a lot by getting open, with his routes being run, with his after-the-catch ability. It was pretty incredible to see. He was the talk of this show. He was the talk of Raider Nation. He was the talk of national media, too. Davante Adams on Up and Adams talked about it on Tuesday.
Gronk.
And Gronk was talking about it. And once again, Davante Adams stepped to the podium, and he was once asked again about one rookie tight end.
I don't think the ice – we still skating. I don't know if it's ever been fully broken. But yeah, you can see he's starting to express himself a little bit more, whether it's after the first downs or – talking to guys a little bit more. He's opening up a lot more than what I anticipated at this point. But between he and I, it's not like a full-blown, you know, I don't think he's all the way comfortable yet, but he came a long way already, for sure.
Now imagine being a rookie. It's Davante Adams.
And that's what, you know, Kirby Smart says. Like, he is not going to be your most vocal guy on the field.
No, but...
But he will do his talking on the field.
And players follow that.
Yeah.
The players at Georgia, and we're talking about five-star
alphas.
NFL
alphas.
Players who at first were like, who the hell is this dude? coming in here trying to treat every rep like it's the Olympics. Like this kid from California, Napa Valley. Where is he? Where's Napa Valley? You know, they're usually, you know, getting guys from Atlanta or Alabama, wherever, right? Florida, exactly. And then all of a sudden, without saying a word, basically, because we know how Brock Bowers is this tight-lipped, in his through his actions and through his play, everybody understood on that Georgia football team, that's a dude we need to follow and emulate and be like and try to aspire to be. And I think that, you know, he's kind of having that same effect on the Raiders, although, you know, Devontae Adams is already there. He doesn't need to follow anybody. But even he's impressed by what he's putting out there on tape. And it's fun to see because I think we all saw, you know, how many eyebrows were raised when they drafted Brock Bowers. Until everyone just put on the tape. I remember going on YouTube and watching some tapes, and underneath, you know, how they had the comments. It was all Raider fans here to watch our new player. Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. I see why we're – oh, so this is why we drafted Brock Bowers. He's like, you know, quote or comment after comment after comment of just watch the tape. And we've already seen in two games, yeah, that's going to translate. That has translated.
Antonio Pierce was asked about, you know, his – football intelligence, and I thought he pointed something, you know, it's hard to really quantify sometimes someone's football IQ or things like that, but the way he was able to explain, like, preseason game number one, we put him in five, six different positions, and he didn't miss a beat, and now he's at the process of not just, you know, understanding what we want to do, but now he's got that down, so now it's how do we attack the team, and Antonio Pierce was asked earlier this week about when he knew Brock Bowers was him.
Yeah, the day he walked in the door. I mean, we knew he was getting a blue chipper. I mean, he did it day one at Georgia when he walked on campus, and he did it each and every game, each and every year. And he got here in rookie mini camp, and you just, you know, okay, you don't got pads on, and we put pads on training camp, and it was like, all right. And we slowed him down a little bit because he was pushing himself. And to be honest, I mean, we knew what we got, just didn't want to speak on it until he did it. Now it's out there, and there's no hiding it. He's a really good football player. He's tough. He loves the game. He doesn't care how he looks, how he talks. He just wants to play ball, and that fits our mentality.
That was head coach Antonio Pierce talking about Brock Bowers, saying, yeah, it was pretty instant. Remember that instant ramen we're talking about? Bam!
You know what he also said? We had to slow him down a little bit, and that was that whole thing about him missing some practice time, and I remember some fans like, he's got to get out there. I'm like, they know what they have in Brock Bowers. You have to understand, this is as clear a sign as possible of how important he already is to this operation. They don't want to mess anything up in rushing him back, and basically as he just said, it was kind of to slow him down a little, like,
yeah,
we need you, brother. We need you Sunday against the Chargers, and so on and so forth. And it was just a sign, like I said, that this dude was going to get leaned on heavily from day one, and they wanted to make sure that he was good to go.
And I also think being such a hard worker and his good work ethic, you want your best players to be your hardest workers in practice, and that already comes out of the box right away. That impresses a lot of guys, especially Devontae Adams. Brock has already kind of made that impression of being somebody that's going to go there and put his head down and work.
Just dialed in all the time.
Yeah, it was interesting. Antonio Pierce said he knew the moment he walked in the building, right? Devontae was like, I don't know if I can really pick a moment, but when we went on the field and I just watched him, I mean, footballers, no footballers.
Did Antonio play with Shockey, right? Remember the tight end from Oklahoma that went to the Giants and was an
instant? He
was
with, he right?
Yeah, he was on that.
I gotta ask him about, because that dude was in a short period of time. I don't remember what derailed him. Maybe it was injuries, but remember from day one, it was Jeremy Shockey from the University of
he
Miami.
He liked to talk.
But
he was a personality.
Yeah, he was this big country kid from Oklahoma who went to Miami and lit it up there, and was an instant player for the Giants and a huge player for the Giants. So I'm wondering if there's some for Antonio Pierce, like, I've seen this one before.
Yeah. So, you know, Brock Bowers talked on this show. A lot of talk within the Raiders room. We talked to Tahir Whitehead yesterday. Once a Raider, always a Raider. I asked him, you know, how good is this kid? And he said he can be as special as he wants to be. And this guy wants to be all football. You know what we also asked? Raiders legend Eric Allen, what he's seen, a guy who's been on the ground at these practices, up in the booth, calling the games, what he's seen out of the rookie tight end.
Yeah, that's a great point. And let's start off by going back to Raiders personnel drafting him high, 13. People kind of had a question about that. But our GM really did an amazing job of saying, if we can't get the quarterback that we like, let's get an impact player who can affect the quarterback position, who's someone we don't have to worry about, who's going to be outside, right, and have to maybe match up with some of the great cornerbacks in this league. Let's get someone who we can move around, which he did an amazing job at Georgia. He can play outside. He can play inside. You can stack him. He can be kind of like that fullback at times and motion him out. So, one, you're going to be able to find mismatches. And two, more importantly, the quarterback is going to be able to target him in the middle of the football field if Davante Adams is taken away by double teams. And he has proven to be such a valuable piece already. When I was in the league way back when, we had a tight end came out of Oklahoma. His name was Keith Jackson. And he was that type of player who was very versatile. You know, he wasn't going to just sit down in that traditional tight end spot with his hand in the ground. He was going to be able to move, not as much as Brock, but he's going to spread out wide. He had a fantastic rookie year, I think made the Pro Bowl, and was a really huge impact. That's the kind of impact Brock is having.
So that is
a great comparison.
That is Raiders legend Eric Allen on our Monday morning cornerback segment that you can catch right here on the Morning Tailgate every Monday. And guys, there's a thing that a lot of teams get stuck in. It's analysis, or I should say paralysis by analysis. You know, you're just so locked into numbers, or especially in the draft need, that sometimes you just got to sit back and be like, this is the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the dude.
Eric Allen brought it up and said, we don't have to worry about him. Because we don't have to, like, most rookies, even if receivers, they still have to learn other tools in their box. Like, how can I get separation downfield? Not every receiver that comes out, even a high draft pick, can do that. But Brock Bowers, as he says, we don't have to worry about him. We can actually line him up as fullback, outside, inside, and do so many different things. And now I think you're starting to see the fruits of that labor.
Well, number one, you take the quarterbacks out of the draft, he's a top five pick, probably a top four pick. And maybe retroactively, when we look back 5 years from now, maybe the top pick overall, all right, number one. Number two, he's a match-up nightmare. He's faster than he's bigger than cornerbacks. He's faster than the safeties, and he's just as tough as linebackers and is just as physical as linebackers, and he can catch, and he's smart. And when the ball is in his hands, he turns into this electric athlete that can outrun even cornerbacks sometimes, or run over the cornerbacks if he needs to, then outrun the linebackers. And safety. So it's just I was talking to somebody from Georgia. I'm doing a story on Brock and talking to some people in Georgia. Unicorn. That is the best way to describe him. He can do everything. And the Keith Jackson comp is fantastic. But even Eric says, and as good as Keith Jackson was, and he was marvelous, he still wasn't as versatile as what Brock Bowers. You're going to be able to. You'll see this. They're going to hand the ball off to Brock. Whether it's as a fullback in a short yardage situation, they haven't dug into that just yet, but I would imagine that they will. They're going to hand it off to him on jet sweeps, which he scored a couple of 70-yard touchdowns at Georgia on that exact type of a play. So they haven't even gotten into the whole arsenal yet with him. But as Eric said, just the versatility of he can literally line up everywhere. You know, might not snap it to him necessarily, but you'll hand it off to him. You could pitch it to him. You can run him up the gut. You could throw it to him. You can screen it to him. You could throw it to him downfield. You can attack the middle of the field. Just a unicorn.
I remember when Zamir White was talking to us in OTAs at the facility, and he was asked about, what do you remember from Georgia, Brock Bowers? And he goes, that guy was good. The moment I saw. I mean, every person that talks about the first time they saw, it's instant. Man, this guy's different.
Just go look at the numbers that he put up.
In a room full of great players.
And the numbers are obscene in a room full of great players. But, like, they're just talking about, he steps on the field, it is instant, oh, he's that guy.
Right.
Okay, we need to, that's who we're looking at? Okay, that's what we're doing. Okay, exactly. So fascinating. I'm excited to see. I think all the nation is excited to see
Sean McVay's favorite player in the draft.
Ooh.
They tried to trade up to him twice, including with the Raiders. I know that they were disappointed that the Raiders said no. And there was a pretty decent offer on the table from what I've heard.
What week is Rams week?
It's October, mid October, right? Yeah, coming up.
I don't even know what today
that's
is.
That game has taken on a totally different look because the Rams are a MASH unit right now. They're not going to have Cooper Kupp. They're not going to have Puka. They're down offensive linemen. So all of a sudden, a game that you're like, could be swinging in the Raiders' favor.
702-365-9200. Coming up next, more sound, more thoughts from you here on Raider Nation Radio.
Can't keep up. It is Raider Nation Radio wrapping up hour number one here on the morning tailgate. Vinny Vincent Clay and story around the NFL. That is, as I like to say on this show, if you've been listening, tickled my funny bone. You know, I'm a big concessions guy. I'm a big tailgate. It's all about the food,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
And the Atlanta Falcons are doing something that I feel every, not just NFL team, every stadium should be adopting, every franchise should be adopting. Clay found this one on the wires, and I'm a big fan. So on Sunday, the Falcons will celebrate Arthur Blank's induction to their Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor he created. But he's being inducted to the Ring of Honor. You would think the owner would be the first one. I mean, it's my honor. It's right. My ring.
I helped build this thing. Let's go.
I mean, if anyone's being honored, it should be the guy who made the ring.
You may have heard a little company I built called Home Depot. All right.
All right, that's neither here nor there. He's finally being inducted after a long wait.
Great guy. Really like Arthur.
What he's doing, if he was well-liked before, my goodness, he is giving away to all fans, free hot dogs, chips, and Coke products in a special edition souvenir cup. Two per person. Two hot dogs, two chips, two refillable drinks in souvenir cups. Free.
Yeah.
Vinny, that's unheard of.
It is unheard of. And to take it a step further, when Mercedes-Benz stadium opened up, one thing that Arthur did was he made sure that the food prices in the stadium reflected what the food prices were outside the stadium. So a beer cost what a beer would cost outside the stadium, and a hot dog and a hamburger and so on and so forth.
$5 beers, $5 chicken wings.
And you know what happens, Vince and Clay?
Record numbers?
Yeah.
Record numbers.
People start showing up to the stadium early.
Weird.
Earlier, buying more.
Buying more. Weird.
Because it was more, exactly.
Weird how that works.
Right. So
it's brilliant.
Nobody had dinner before.
And that's like, not necessarily why he did it, but it was the offshoot of doing it because, as it turns out, the mentality of a buyer is, well, now I could buy two rather than one and actually end up spending more on the two than I would have on just the one, and therefore I'm putting more money into the concessions. And so it was, I don't know, reverse psychology, some sort of psychology. Whatever the case was, it turned out to be a great idea that benefited everybody.
Ketchup, mustard, what do you do? Hot dog.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Vinny does not enter into the condiments.
Condiments. What does am I saying? Like, he's not a condiment guy.
Yeah.
Although the rest of the world enjoys the condiments.
Let's talk real people and condiments. What do you put on your hot dog?
I would love to put I'd like to put the best of both worlds. I like a little best. I'll have a ketchup and mustard. But I will always have mustard, no doubt about it.
No questions asked.
And there are some hot dogs, though, that they serve here in Vegas at a few casinos that they're steamed in beer.
Yes.
I do like them without anything because they are so delicious. Just
that sounds good right
steamed
there.
In Pabst Blue Ribbon, it's good. Yeah. But mostly mustard.
Don't they do that at South Point?
They do.
Yeah. Right outside VSIN, which, by the way, nice segue. We'll be talking to Tim Murray.
We will.
9:20. You got to go ketchup, mustard, relish, cheese. Shredded cheese.
Okay, shredded cheese.
On your hot dog?
On the hot dog. It's an experience. It's not just a meal, Vinny. It's an experience.
To me, like, my parents are like, it's not a hot dog until you got some chopped onions on it, some raw chopped onions. Can you go there?
I could go onions. I could even go further and put jalapenos on it.
All right, how many could you eat if you were at the Falcons Stadium? Like, you were just like, all right.
I'm at a game, I'm probably not doing the full experience. I'm probably just like, you know, getting the machine going.
Ask about Dodger dogs in the press box.
Oh, my God, Dodger dogs.
All right.
The real Dodger dog. They've changed since.
Right. Now that's a meal.
I mean, It might be a meal, but when you know they give him out free after the third inning, I think it is at Dodger Stadium in the press box. That was just
it was
heavenly.
As an intern, you can, as an intern at Dodger Stadium.
Well, yeah. Do you have a personal record?
Eight.
I might have eaten five one time.
Five. Wow. That, not at one time during. From the third inning through the ninth inning.
Yeah, not at one time. Ah, no, weird.
Other guys have, but not me.
Nobody would do that at one time. I wasn't a struggling college kid just finding something to eat.
There was just something about Dodger Dugs.
They're super good. How many could I eat? The basis, I always have to have ketchup and mustard, 100%. Like, has to be on it. Otherwise, I find it very difficult to eat the hot dog. So I could probably... Man, this is like my favorite subject, hot dog eating contest. Oh, in one sitting, I would go
now, Dodger
eight.
Dogs are big.
I would probably go eight comfortably. Yeah. Now I've watched a lot of documentaries on the stomach, and when you get that feeling of nausea and fullness, your stomach can still hold another 2 pounds of food. So you got to push past the pain. You got to push past the pain and keep going. That's how you become a competitive eater.
You know, I was covering a Dodger game one time, and this had nothing to do with eating. I just had something hit me. It was like a stomach, you know, something or other.
Yeah, not great.
I pushed through the entire game, but as soon as I literally hit file, and then I was in the bathroom, and I'm face in, right, and I'm just, and who walks in, and like I shut the door. Who walks in, and it was like, hey, are you doing okay?
Dodger
it's Vince
State?
Scully. Oh. And I'm like, first of all, I'm thinking God's talking to me. And he's like, hey, just so you know, take care. It's going to be all right.
It's
like almost on the verge of tears. Like,
yeah,
Vince Scully's giving
better.
Me a pep talk. It did. I was like, yeah, I will. Because it was just like, you know how it gets sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It's rough stuff.
But I give myself a lot of credit because somehow, some way, the body just said, you got to file your story. There's no way
that
you cannot file the story. But then a second afterward, bing, I'm in the bathroom.
That's my
You got to be blinking me.
Are you okay, young fella?
I miss Ben so much. He was great.
All right. Well,
so eight Dodger Dogs. Because the Dodger Dogs are double.
I could push on a Dodger Dog.
Because I'm talking about not at one, like third inning through the ninth.
Oh,
inning.
Through the game. Yeah, I could definitely.
Easy.
Yeah, I can handle that. I can handle that.
Oh, there's a law of diminishing returns after number three.
Somebody might be knocking on your door at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
My poor wife.
Welfare check.
All right, we are wrapping up hour number one here on the Morning Tailgate. Coming up, plenty more sound from Devontae, Gardner, Brock, and Antonio. It's the Tailgate.